Okay, we're going to start here right after the Mishnah on Samachay Amar Aleph. The Gemara is now going to discuss all the process that is involved in the bringing of the Ola Ta'of, and it also in that will get also involved with the Chatat Ta'of. It's going to darshan the Psukim. So, Tana Rabbanan, V'hikrivo, Matam Domar. Why do you need the word V'hikrivo? Because if you look in V'ikra Aleph, Pasuk Yudalit, it says, V'imina of Ola Karbono Lashem, V'hikriv, Min Hatorim, Umin Bnei Hayona et Karbono. Then Pasuk Tevav begins, V'hikrivo HaKohen, Ela Mizbeach. Why does it have to use the verb V'hikrivo again? It already said V'hikriv in the previous Pasuk. So why do we have the additional V'hikrivo? Fishin Amar, because it says in the previous Pasuk, V'hikriv Min Hatorim, Umin Bnei Hayona, Yechol Hamit Nadev of Lo Yivchot Mishnei Pridim. At Predim, you would have to bring at least a minimum of two birds. Because the previous pasuk says, V'kiv min atorim, o min bnei hayona. So it would sound like you have plural, they're phrased in the plural, and therefore you'd have to have a minimum of two in order to bring a korban ha'of. So what is the hikrivo? Hikrivo in the singular tells me, afilu preda achat yavi ela mizbeach, that you're allowed to bring even a single bird as a korban ola or an alat nedava. Matal Madomar HaKohen. So the next word in the pasuk is V'ikivo HaKohen. What does the HaKohen teach me? The Gvo Alo Kohen. It teaches me that this process or everything that is done to Olat Ha'Of must be done by Kohen. Sheyachol V'alo Dinhu. Because I would have thought possibly that it's a Kal V'Chomer. Ma Ben Tzon Shekavalo Tzafon. When it comes to a behema, then you have to do it. Kodshei Kodeshim have to be shechted in the north. Lo Kavalo Kohen. Despite the fact that it has a limitation that it must be done in the north, it doesn't have the limitation that it would be done by a Kohen. Even a Zar can do the Shechita. Of Shelo Kavalo Tzafon, an Of which does not have that limitation of being only done in the north, Enu Din Shelo Kavalo Kohen, isn't it a Kal V'Chomer that you shouldn't require a Kohen? So Talmud Omar, Pasuk says, a Kohen. So the Kohen tells you that everything that is done, V'hikrivo HaKohen, everything that's done to the Olat Ha'Of, is done by the Kohen. Bo alo Kohen. Yochol yimalkenu bisakin. So now we're up to Malika, which is the next verb in the Pasuk. It's V'hikrivo HaKohen al-Mizbech, umalak et rosho. So that Malika, well, how you do this Malika? So Mer says, maybe you should do it with a knife. V'dinu, shibir kal v'chomer. Umam shechita shelo kavala kohen. When it comes to shechita that does not have a requirement of kohen, even a zar can do shechita kavala kli. Despite that fact, it says you must, if you use a kli, use a knife to do the shechita. Melika shel kavala kohen. Melika that does have that requirement of only being done by a kohen, enu din shel kavala kli, then certainly it should have to be done by a kli. Tamar lomar a kohen umalak. So the pasuk continues, it says, Yikriv HaKohen El Mizbeach Umalak. So the juxtaposition of HaKohen to the Malak is that the Kohen himself will do the Malika. It's not that you'll use a knife to do the Malika, but the Kohen, the Guf HaKohen will do the Malika. Amar Rabbi Akiva, Bechit Alel Datcho, Shazar Karev Legabe Mizbeach. What's the Havamin over here that you shouldn't have a Kohen do it? Because we're going to see in a second that the Malika must be done on the Mizbeach, in the Makom Haktara, in the place where you're going to put it on the Mizbeach. Well, what's your Havamin that a Zar should do it and he should be up on the Mizbeach? Since when do we permit a Zar to go up on the Mizbeach? So what's the word Kohen coming to teach me? Of course a Kohen is going to do it because it's going to be on the top of the Mizbeach. Shetei Malika bat Moshe Kohen. That the Malika should be done by the Guf of Kohen. So Rabbi Kiv has explained to us what the limud is. It's not just the juxtaposition of HaKohen to Malika, but it's additive in the sense that the HaKohen shouldn't have been necessary because the requirement of Malika is to be done on the Mizbeach. We're going to see that limud in 1 second. And therefore, it was, of course, done by a Kohen. So what does the extra Kohen teach you? It teaches you a Kohen umalak. That the Kohen himself does the Malika. It's him begufo that he does the Malika. Yocho yumalkenu ben milamalo ben milamato. I would think that you could do the Malika whether you're standing on the ground or whether you're standing up on the Mizbeach, most likely on the Sovev. Tamalomar umalak ve'iktir. You do Malika, and then Hiktir. Those are the two vex verbs in the Pasuk. We have Yikivo, Kohen HaMizbech, Umalak et Rosho, Viktir HaMizbecha. So there's Malika is juxtaposed to the Hiktir. And that tells us, where is the Malika done? Maktara Barosh Mizbech, HaMalika Barosh Mizbech. Just like Daktara has to be done on top of the Mizbech, so too the Malika must be done on the top of the Mizbech. Umalak, Mimul Oreth. Malika is done from the back of the neck, the nape. Hadaumer mimul orif, or wein roelo min etzavar. Is it from the back of the neck, or is it from the front of the neck? V'dinu. It's kavachomer. Nemar kanu malak, v'nemar lahalanu malak. They have malak that's written here, and malak which is also written by the chatatov. In Vayikra Perikei, when it talks about malikava chatatov, it says v'viil tamal koin v'kriv tasher lachatat rishona umalaket rosho mimul arpo v'lo yabdil. So there it says mimul arpo specifically by the chatat of. It's explicit that it has to be mul haorif. And what the Gemara says, that's the din. Nemar kan malak, nemar lahalan malak, malahalan mul orif, akan mimul orif. So ilam alahalan mulei kveinu mavdil. The requirement by the chatat is that you do malika ve'ein mavdil, because it says lo yabdil afterwards. Afkan mulei kveinu mavdil. So if you're going to learn the exer shava of sorts between the malikot, then you should take the whole din of malika from chatat. And just like malika of chatat, you're not allowed to separate. So why over here are you don't have that limitation? Tamalomar umalak viktir. You do malika and then haktara. Ma haktara harosh leatzmo vaguf leatzmo. Just like on the placement of the mizbeach, the head is separate from the guf. Af malika harosh leatzmo vaguf leatzmo. So too, the malika severs the head from the body. Not like by the chatat, where the head is still attached to the body. Over here, the head is completely severed from the body. So Mara asks the obvious question, is minayin shaktara tarosh batzmo vaguf batzmo? How do you know that the head and the goof are placed separately onto this bech? Shenemar, because the pasuk says, viktir oto. It's the subsequent pasuk by the Ola, which says, vishisa oto bichanafav lo yabdil, viktir otko o kohen al hamizbecha. So it says there that the kohen will place it on the mizbeach. So that's the haktara which is found in pasuk Yud Zayin. But nevertheless, in the pasuk that we were reading, there's also a viktir hamizbecha. So that means that the Torah twice says viktir hamizbecha. Why does it say it twice? So nemar viktir oto, ari aktorat gufu mura, that's in pasuk design. How many became viktir hamizbecha? What do I do with viktir hamizbecha? Aktorat rosh, katuv medaber. Must be the fact that the Torah talks about twice, about the tzivui of haktara, that one of them is speaking about the rosh, and one of them is speaking about the guf. Nimtza damo, again this is the next verb in the pasuk that we've been reading, v'yikriva kohen al mizbeach, malaket rosho, v'yiktir mizbecha, v'nimtza damo al kira mizbeach. What is v'nimtza damo? Kulo. You have to get all the blood out. It's not just mi damo, from some of its blood, but damo, the entirety of the dam that belongs to the bird. Al kira mizbeach, on the wall of mizbeach. V'lo al kira kevesh, and not on the ramp, v'lo al kira eichal, not on the walls of the eichal. Which wall we're talking about? Zekir ha'elyon. We're talking about the upper half of the mizbech, above the chuta sikra. This is an olat of, which is done above the chuta sikra. Maybe you should do it on the lower half of the mizbech. Bedinu is a kavachomer. Uma behema shechatata lemalo. By behemot, achatat is done by the karnot up above. Olata lemata. The olah is done below. Of shechatato lemata, which we learned in yesterday's daf, because it has the requirement, b'nei shar badam yimatzei el yisod ha-mizbeach, so that yimatzei el yisod ha-mizbeach, that yisod teaches us it has to be an area where it will roll down to the yisod. So now we know by the chatat of that it's done on the bottom. So now by olat of shouldn't be al chaz kama v'kama, by the behema, the chatat's done above, the olah's down below. Over here, where the chatat is done below, enu din, that the olato lamato should be down below. Tamalomar umalak viktir vinimtza damo. That the, all three of those verbs are juxtaposed in a series, and therefore that you do the melika, the haktara, and the mitzui adam are all done in the same location. That means on the upper half of the mizbeach, just like the haktara is in the upper half of the mizbeach. So too, the mitzui adam is done on the upper half of the mizbeach. V'chit alei adatcha. And what do you think? Wait a minute. That pasuk doesn't make so much sense. It says v'kriva kohen al mizbech umalakat rosh, he does malika v'kriva mizbech, and then he puts it on the mizbech v'nimtza damo. Now he's squirting the blood. Now he's squeezing the blood onto the mizbech. How are you squeezing the blood onto the mizbech after it's already on the pyre up top? It's up on the marocha. So what is el olam alacha? Ma haktara b'rosh mizbech? Af mitzui b'rosh mizbech. Comes to teach you, just like the haktara is on the top of the mizbech, so too the mitzui is done on top of the mizbech. And therefore we have all three of these actions that are going to be taken on top of the mizbech, which is the malak, iktir, and nimtza. All three of them are done on the upper half of the mizbeach. Ha ketzad, how do you do this? Haya ole b'kevesh. He goes up the main ramp, upone l'sovev, and he turns off to the sovev. That's the kevesh hakatan that goes to the east, allows you to go to the Keren Dromit Mizrachit, which is where you do the Korban Olata'uf. Uvalo le Keren Dromit Mizrachit, Haimaleka Tosha, pops off the head with Malika, Mimuar Pa, Umadil, and he separates. He severs the head entirely from the body. Umimatze Midamal Kir Mizbech, and then he squeezes out the blood onto the wall of Mizbech. If he does it an amal below his feet, he is still kasher. This is what we discussed until now, that the chut sikra is actually an ama below the soveiv. So there's actually an ama below the soveiv, which still belongs to the upper half of the mizbeach. So technically, he could bend over and put that on the wall and still be on the upper half of the mizbeach. Rabbi Nechemia, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, Rabbi Kolat Zma, in a sita of Rosh Mizbech. No, it has to be done at the top of the Mizbech. Not top, meaning on top, but above the Soveiv. So Mer says, my binayu, what's the difference in their din? Or really, my kamayu, what's the reasoning? How come one of them allows you to do it above the Chut HaSikra, and the other one only allows you, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, and Rabbi Nechemia only allow you to do it above the Soveiv? By Rava, Damir Tavayu, Ose Maracha Gabi Soveiv, Ike Benayo. Question is whether you can extend the Maracha, the pyre, onto the Soveiv. So the Machlokis is involved in Haktara. Where can you do Haktara? Can you only do Haktara on the top of the Mizbeach? Well, if you can only do Haktara on the top of the Mizbeach, then I'm going to limit where you can do the Mitzui Adam Deola to above the Soveiv, because it's got to be Karov. It's got to be close by. That's what we just learned in the Pasuk. V'ktir Mizbecham Nimtza Adamo, Alkir Mizbeach. So the Mitzui has to be done close to the Haktara. So that since the Haktara can only be done on the top of the Mizbech, therefore the Mitzui Adam can only be done above the Soveiv. On the other hand, if you believe that you can extend, when they ran out of space, or for whatever reason they needed to make a pyre on the Soveiv, that's considered to be the top of the Mizbech as well, then you have an Haktara that's near the Mitzui Adam. Even if you do it below the Soveiv by the Chut HaSikra, it'll still be close to the Haktara. And you still accomplish V'ktir Mizbech of an Imtza, because you have the possibility of doing Haktara on the Soveiv. Now the Gemara continues to dash in the Psukim. The next pasuk says, "Vesiret murata benotzata," that you remove the murata benotzata. The Mara wants to know what that means. Then it says, "Vishlichota." That's what we learned yesterday. We spent our time yesterday about throwing it to the Beit Hadeshen. That is vishlichota mitzvah mizbech kedma al makom hadeshen. They're on the eastern side of the mizbech to the makom hadeshen. That part we dealt with yesterday. Now the Gemara is going to deal with the first part, which is "Vesiret murata benotzata." What does that mean? Tera banan, "Vesiret murata benotzata zu zefek." So what is the Mor'ah? The Torah doesn't tell us what the Morato is. It's the Zefek, which is the crop. Yachol yagdir b'sakin v'yitaleno. You would think that maybe you just have to carve it out, get in there with a knife, cut it open, take out the crop, and put it in the Beit HaDeshen. Tamalomar b'notzata. That you have to take the plumage, the feathers, along with it. So what is that? Notelet notza ima. You have to take the feathers along with it. Abba Yossi ben Hanan omer notla v'notel kurku benna. Ima. Not only do you take the crop with it, you also take the, it's called a craw, or the stomach of the bird along with it. Debei Rabbi Shmuel, Tana benotzata, benotza shela, kodra besakin, kemin aruba. Creates like a skylight, it goes in and takes it and takes out the feathers with it. So basically you have three different interpretations of what it means to take marato benotzata. The Gemara rejects the Havamina that you would just take out the crop. You cut in and take out the crop, that's not possible because the addition of notzata. What does notzata add for you over here? So Abbi Yossi ben Hananan says it also adds in the kurkubana, the craw or the stomach, because notzata comes here from the word perish, meaning that which is left over, that which is refuse, and therefore you take the whole digestive tract, not just the crop, you take the whole digestive tract out with it, because these are in turn creating notzata, not to be feathers, but rather perish. The Dvei Rabbi Shmuel says, no, I'll tell you what you do, you carve in, like you thought, you take a knife, you carve in, take out the crop, but you also take the area that you carved out with the crop. In order to get in and access the crop, you have to cut the bird open. That area that you cut open, you take with it, like a skylight, as he says, I'm creating a total opening to get down to the crop plus that opening, everything goes on to the, that gets all thrown into the Beit HaDeshen, and that's how you get notzata. It's plumage with it, is by taking off the skin and the feathers that you cut into in order to access the crop. Right, so now the Gemara continues. The Pasuk says, Pasuk Yitzayin now, it's the third Pasuk by the Lotov, says, Bishisa oto bichnafav lo yavdil. That you have to tear it apart by its wings, but not rend it into two. Tarabanan, vishisa, ein shisa elabiyad. That's done by your hands and not with a kli. You don't use a knife to split it open, you have to use your hands to pull it apart. How do you know that? V'cheinu omer, it says, by Shimshon, vayishas ehu kishasa hagdi. He ripped it open to start back when he bumped into the lions. It says that he ripped it apart like you rip apart the gedi, like a goat. And there we know explicitly it says he did it by his hands. But with his hands, he used his strength and he ripped apart the lion. So there we see the word, the verb shasa, is related to using one's hands. So it's also over here where the Torah uses the verb vishisa, it means do it by hand, that you should split open the bird, but not, you have deal, not separate it. Yeah, you pull the two wings. Along the back. So now the Gemara finished darshaning the psukim by Olata Oaf. Now the Gemara goes to something in our Mishnah, that our Mishnah talks about Havdalah in the Mishnah. Havdalah is used twice in the Parshiot of Olata Oaf and Chatat Oaf. It's used once here where we just saw it, which is Shisauto Bichnafav Lo Yavdil. There by the Olata Oaf, you're not allowed, when you pull on the wings and separate it, you're not allowed to have it fully separate. Lo Yavdil is also a verb that's used by Chatat Oaf. By Chatat Oaf and by Ipehei Chet, we just read the pasuk before, which is Veviel Tam El Kohen, Kriyat Asher Chatat Rishona, Umalaket Rosho Yidum Likam Mimul Arpo Lo Velo Yavdil, and do not sever it. So there's a requirement by Chatat Oaf of Lo Yavdil, do not sever it entirely. By Olat Oaf, there is a positive requirement to sever the head, because the head and the body are mukrav separately by the Olat Oaf. So Gemara is going to discuss what it said in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that if you do one or the other, meaning that for Olata Oaf, you are not Mavdil, or the other way around, for Chatat Oaf, you are Mavdil, then it's problematic. And that's from the Mishnah. The statement in the Mishnah says, Hivdil b'chatat, velo hivdil b'ola, pasul. Our Mishnah says that that's problematic, and the Korban is pasul. The Mar says, "Matnita unto Loku Rabbi Lozib Rabbi Shimon." Our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Lozib Rabbi Shimon. Titania, Amar Rabbi Lozib Rabbi Shimon, Shemati Shemavdilim bechatat oaf. I think, or I heard, that you can sever off the head of the chatat oaf, and it's not a problem. So, my benayu, what's the difference? What's the nafgamina? What's going on between the two opinions? Why does our Mishnah say pasul, and Rabbi Lozib Rabbi Shimon says it's fine? Now, Rashi explains this whole Gemara as being a question, when you're doing the Shechita, when you go ahead, it's not really Shechita, when you're doing the Melika, how far can you go with the Melika? By the Chatat Oaf, our Tana says in the Mishnah, Chatat Oaf, you can only do one Siman, you can't go through the second Siman, and according to the Rambam, even if you go through the second Siman, as long as you leave the Basar, you still leave the Or, Habasar attached, that's enough. And by the Ola, you do Melika all the way through the two Simanim, according to Rambam, even through the Basar, that you sever the head entirely. So that's the difference between them, according to the Tana Kama. According to Rabbi Shlomo Ben Shimon, it sounds like even by the Chatat Oaf, you can push all the way through and it'll be fine. Either through two Simanim, according to Rashi, according to Rambam, you push all the way through and sever the head, that would be fine. And the discussion here is about whether that's fine. In the original Shechita, or the original Melika, is that okay to sever the head of the Chatat? Tosfos says no. Tosfos says until much later in the Gemara, until the bottom of the Amud, the Gemara is discussing after Mitzui Adam. Everybody agrees, even Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Shimon agrees, that before Mitzui Adam, you can't sever the head of the Chatat. It's only after Mitzui Adam are you allowed to sever the head of the Chatat, and that will relate to what we're going to see now. So the difference between them is Rashi believes that the question is from the beginning. Can you sever the head entirely before you do any Avodah? Tosfos says no, it's only after you've done Mitzui Adam, you've done the main Avodah of the Chatat, are you then allowed to sever the head completely. So now, what's the difference between Amar Rav Chisa? We have three suggestions by Moraim, and then at the end we'll have Rabbi Yirmiyah come back and say that we don't need any of those suggestions, we know the reason for Rabbi Shimon. Amar Rav Chisa, Mitzui Chatat Oaf Me'akev Ikebanayu. The requirement for Mitzui Adam by the Chatat, whether that's Me'akev or not, is the machlokas between them here. Because by the Chatat Oaf it says, Vizami Dam Chatat Al Kiyar Mizbeach. So there has to be Hazat Adam first. So just like Behema, that there's Zrikat Adam, or Shvichat Adam, or Nitina Be'etzva Adam, that'd be like the Izad Adam L'chatat. Then by Nishar Adam, Yimatzel Yisod HaMizbeach. The remainder of the blood is squeezed onto the Yisod HaMizbeach. Again, we saw yesterday, Yimatzel is in a passive form, whether you have to actually do a second Mitzui in order to complete it, or the blood that was Hizah originally is what's Mimatzel to the Yisod, not clear, and that's Machloket HaRishonim. So over here, the question is, that Mitzui Adam, is that Mitzui Adam Me'akev? Or not me'akev. So that's what the Tanakama Savar Mitzui Chatat Oaf me'akev. The Mitzui Chatat Oaf is me'akev. Became into Mitzui Damka Avid Maase Ola b'Chatat Oaf. Then basically in the end you're going to end up doing all the trappings of an Olat Oaf to the Chatat Oaf. Why? Because what's the din of an alatov? Alatov has no hazat adam. Alatov only has mitzui adam. And the other requirement by alatov is that you pop the head off entirely. So now, if I take a chatatov, I pop the head off the chatatov, and then I also do mitzui adam, I've done everything that would have needed to be done by Allah, I'm doing to a chatat. And we're going to see in the next parak that that's problematic to treat or to do the chatat like you would do the olam. On the other hand, Rabbi Lazib, Rabbi Shimon, Savar Mitzui Chatatov lo ma'akev. It's not ma'akev, so there, Mechatech Vasar Ba'amahu. Therefore, when he does the Mabdil of the Rosh, he doesn't have to do the Mitzui later on. So he can do this to the Chatat and not make it look like an Ola. Because what he'll do is, he'll pop the head off entirely. That does look like an Ola. He'll have the Hazat Adam by the Chatat Ov, and then he won't do Mitzui. It's not ma'akev, and he won't do it. If he doesn't do Mitzui Adam, then it doesn't look like an Ola anymore. He popped the head off, that looked like an Ola, but he doesn't finish up the entire process like the Ola. He doesn't do Mitzui Adam, and therefore it's fine. So Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon thinks that Mitzui Adam is not Ma'akev. That's the way Rashi reads it. Tosafot is going to read it like this. Everybody agrees he did the Hazat Adam now. He already did Hazat Adam. The question is now, after Hazat Adam, can I pop the head off? Well, it depends. Is Mitzui Adam Ma'akev or not? If Mitzui Adam is Ma'akev, then I can't pop the head off because I haven't finished the Avodah by the Chatat Ov. On the other hand, if you think Mitzui Adam is not Ma'akev, I've done all the major Avodah by the Chatat Ov, now I can pop its head off because the restriction of Enim Avdil won't apply. Rava offers another interpretation. The question is, by Olata Ov, where you do have to sever the entire head, you have to get through both Simanim, is there a din of Shia? By a behema, when you shech the behema, you have to go through the two simanim. You're not allowed to be mishahet. You're not allowed to delay when you're doing the shechita between one siman and the second siman. Does that apply to an oaf as well? Does an oaf have that same requirement that one may not delay between the shechita or the melika of one of the simanim to the second siman? Why would that be? By a behema, which is a large animal, the animal does not pass away until one goes through both simanim. It's not, the animal hasn't died until you clear both simanim. Therefore, if you're mishahed, if you leave it, then the possibility is that the behemoth will become a nefela. You made it into a treifa by cutting through one siman, and now it may die by itself without you getting through the second siman, and you'll be missing shechita. So therefore, we don't allow shia. On the other hand, by the birds, one siman takes care of the bird. The bird's done, dead, after you go through the one siman. The only question is now, there's a gzeirat hakatuv that I have to get through the second siman. So therefore, if I waited a little bit and then go to the second siman, it's fine. Or, do we say that the shia applies to the bird, just like it applies to behema? The bird is not dead once you go through the first siman. It's a treifa. And if you don't get through the second siman right away, the bird will die before you complete the full malika. So that's what's going to be the difference between them. Rav Amar, shia b'siman sheni b'lata of me'akev. Ike b'nai otanakam asar shia b'siman sheni b'lata of lo me'akev. When you go through the second siman, the shia doesn't bother you. And therefore, even if he delays between them, he's still doing a maseola. So here, over here, he does the chatat, he pops off one of the simanim, then he waits. And then he later does the second siman b'chatatov. So does that look like an olah or not? Well, it depends. By an olah tov, when you're severing both simanim, are you allowed to delay? Are you allowed to tarry? The answer is, according to Tanna Kamma, yes, you can tarry. So since you can tarry by the olah tov, when you do that by the chatat tov, it still looks like an olah. Even if you delay between the first siman and the second siman, still looks like you're doing an olah tov. Rabbi Shimon Savar me'akev. There is no allowance for shia by a bird. Therefore, by olah tov, you have to go straight through both simanim. But when you come to chatat tov, you took a break. If you waited between the first siman and the second siman, there's nothing to talk about anymore. When you come to cut the second siman, the bird's dead. It's you cutting flesh. You're not cutting a siman anymore. You're not doing a maise ola anymore on this bird because the malika is completed after the first siman was cut. Because the behemah is a large animal, it's not dead until you get through both simanim. Therefore, if you tarry between one siman and a second, it might die as a treifa in between and you won't complete the shechita. By a bird, which is a lighter animal, if you get through one siman, maybe it's dead right away. And then the second siman is a gzeirat hakatuv that you have to get through the second siman. That shia is not ma'akev, meaning that it's fine. Birds are different than behemah. One siman. So therefore, even when you tarry, when you cut through the second siman, it's still kosher for the olat ha'of. So too, by the chatat ha'of, even if you took a break between the first siman and the second siman, that would still look like an olah. Because by an olah, that would be kasher. So when you do it to a chatat, it also looks like an olah still. Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon says, no, you're not allowed to be mishaya. Even by a bird, you're not allowed to tarry. You have to go straight through both simanim. So therefore, by a chatat, if you tarried between the two simanim, then it no longer looks like an olat ha'of. This would not be a kosher melika for olat ha'of. Since it won't be a kosher melika for olat ha'of, Therefore, it's not an olat of. It doesn't look like an olat of over here. When you waited, when you waited between the two simanim. All right, now, third opinion. Abaye amar, rov basar me'akev ika ben yayu. That the cut, or the need to cut through the rov basar is what's the machlokas between them. Uplokta de Rabbi Zeri, Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yitzchak. And their machlokas between these Amoraim is similar to one by Rabbi Zeri, Rabbi Shmuel bar Yitzchak. Haramar shiab siman sheni balata of me'akev. One of them explains like Rava that the machlokas here is about the tearing between the two simanim. Charamar rov basar me'akev ika beinayu, that the rov basar is what's me'akev. Michlal debein and the rov basar b'tchila. So Umar says, well, from this the application is that they only are arguing about whether it's me'akev. Rov basar is me'akev. But the conclusion of that would be that chatchila everybody agrees that you have to sever the rov basar. Umar says in. Says we do. V'atanya, we have a bright. Ketzad mokim chatat ha'ov. How do you do malika v'chatat ha'ov? Chotech shidra, you go through the spine, umifareket, and the etzem, the bone of the back of the neck. You break the neck. Below rov basar, but you do not sever, you do not cut through the rov of the basar, the skin that is around there, the flesh that is around there. Ad shemagil aveshet, until you've cut to the esophagus. Or to the windpipe. You've gone through one siman, orubo, or rova that siman, rov basarimo. At that point, you cut through the remainder of the flesh over there. Vola, and when you do that, shnayim, orov shnayim. Then by the simanim, you have to get through both simanim, or rov shnayim, and then you cut through the rova basar. Our fear is that once you go through rova basar, the bird is dead. So we need you to cut the siman before you cut through rov habasar, the rov of the flesh that's around the neck. So what we want you to do is to get through the spine and the neck bone, get directly to the siman, cut it, and only afterwards sever the rov habasar that's there so that you've done the siman before you cut the rov habasar. So that's how we know. The Braita explains to us that's the process by which one does olata of chatato. If you do cut the rov basar, so the machlokas between them is whether rov basar is me'akev or not me'akev. Rashi says, Rashi explains here that both agree in Abaye's explanation. Both Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon and the Tanakam agree that shia in the siman sheni is psula. If you tarry between the two simanim, not like Rabbi who says that's the difference between them, but he says no. Everybody thinks that you have to get through both simanim without any weight between them. And therefore, the Tanakama says that chituch rov basar b'chatat is not me'akev, lo me'akev. So if he doesn't cut it, it's fine. So therefore, if you say he's mabdil, then he does the two simanim without any shia. He does it straight through without any break. But then you have a maase ola, because then you just went through two simanim without any break. On the other hand, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon says that rov basar is me'akev by the chatat. And therefore you have to go through one siman, then the rov basar. Well, if you've already done the rov basar, you already tarried before you went to the second siman. If you tarried before you went to the second siman, then it's not considered maase ola anymore, because everybody agrees that shia is a problem, and therefore it's not considered to be maase ola anymore. Now we come to the final stage. Here, even the Tosafot agrees to Rashi, that we're talking about even before Zatadam. Talking about all in the beginning now, because Rabbi Yirmiyah is going to change the game totally. Amrua kameid Rabbi Yirmiyah. They went and told over all these memrot, Rav Chisda, Abaye, Rova, all these explanations for Rabbi Shimon. Amar lo shmilu adam Rabbi Shimon bela yoki mishum Rabbi Elazar ben Pedat mishum Rabbi Elazar ben Shamu. You didn't hear what they had said. Omer haya Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon shamati ba chatata of shemavdilin. That I heard about chatata of that you're allowed to be mavdil. Umay lo yavdil. Well, the pasuk explicitly says lo yavdil by the chatata of. Umalakat rosho mimul arpo lo yavdil. The lo yavdil. So what do you mean? Rabbi Elazar says I heard you can do havdalah. So what does it mean lo yavdil? Ein sarich lahavdil. You're not obligated to do the Havdalah. And that comes out of the fact that by the Pasuk, by the Olah, it says, Vihi Krivo HaKohen. Now we said before that Hikrivo is extraneous. Why do you need the Hikrivo? Kohen on Mizbeach HaMalak. So, but Hikriv, because the Pasuk beforehand already said, Vihikriv min Torimu min B'nei Yonat Karbono. The addition of the Hikrivo, again by the Olah, tells me that there's a mitzvah to do Havdalah by the Olah Ta'of. So if I start with the premise that there's a mitzvah to do Havdalah by the Olah Ta'of, then you can read or interpret the Lo Yavdil by the Chatat saying that it's not necessary to do Havdalah. So you have to start with the premise that the Olah requires Havdalah. Now we learn out of the extra word Vihikrivo, that Vihikrivo teaches us that you have to sever the head entirely by the Olah Ta'of. So once I know that information, then when I go to Chatan, it says v'lo yabdil. Lo yabdil may not be a tzivoy. It might simply be a yes. You don't have to do it. You don't have to do Abdullah here. You do have to do by the Allah, but here you don't have to do it. That's the way Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon reads it. He reads it that umay lo yabdil in tzarich labdil. So I'm going to revach abrei the rova the rabashi elamiata gabi bor says v'lo yichasenu. When the person digs a bore in Rishut HaRabim, and it says that he did not cover it. Hachanami, what are you going to write? V'lo yichasenu. It ain't tzarich lechasot? That he doesn't have to cover it? I mean, that if you think v'lo yabdil means that you do not have to sever, but if you're optional, if you want to, you can, just don't have to. So to Amir, lo yichasenu, will say, oh, optional. You want to cover it, cover it. You don't want to cover it, don't cover it. So that maybe that's what yichasenu means. Why did the Gemara pick this? If any lav in the Torah, why does it pick the not covering the bore? You can pick any lav. Right, go to Bashadnez. Why isn't that? Why don't we say, oh, is that optional? Why are you picking these? Tosus points out, that's the last Tosus in the parak, he points out that the lo kashaleh the maid katve im lo lalav. Avaha misvara. There's a svara by these two. Hava mina de mabdil, the fish of tzarich ledam. You need the blood. Amina de chiktiv lo yabdil, in tzarich labdil kamar. The whole point of taking the head off or opening up the head is to get access to the blood for the chatat of. So therefore I would understand lo yabdil doesn't mean don't separate, but rather you don't have to sever the whole head off. Because it's enough when you pop the head off partially that you can get to the dam. And that's why I would have interpreted lo yabdil differently than any other lav in the Torah. And so too by bor, he says. V'gavi bor, misvora hava mino de chayav de chasoto. My svar would have said, of course you have to cover the bor. V'chiktiv lo yichasenu, and he didn't cover it, in tzarich lechasoto kamar. So you don't have to tell me, it's obvious, even if the Torah had written it, that I should have covered the bor, because I dug it, I should take care of the takala, the problem that I created in Rishut HaRabim. So then the Torah goes out of its way to say, v'lo yichasenu, that he didn't cover it. What do you mean he didn't cover it? So if he didn't cover it, maybe that should mean that you're not necessary to cover it. So that's why the Gemara picked on these two, lavim in particular, because there's a svara, there's a havamina to believe that the lav should not be a lav in these two cases. So Amalei Rav Acha Brei, the Rav of the Rav Ashilam, I have to get me bored to chiv leich hasen ach and amid dein zirech lechasado. Where it says, Achi Ashto, how can you compare these cases? Hotam tichtei gave dichtei balabor yishaleim. The balabor is responsible. He's going to be chayav for any damage done there. Aloi hu derami leich suyei. It's his obligation to cover it. So therefore he says, v'loi chasenu can't be don't cover it, or he doesn't have to cover it. He's going to have to pay. Of course he has to cover it. Of course he's obligated. So you can't interpret loi chasenu there meaning don't have to cover it. Loi chasenu means he didn't cover it, and that's why he's responsible. The pasuk already said v'ikrivo. So chalak hakatuv ben chatat of leolat of. We already know from the chatat the olat of has this special verb v'ikrivo by it. Hikrivo teaches us sever the entire head of the olah. That's not written by the chatat of. So I already know that the olat of gets a full severing of the head. The chatat of doesn't. So then, why do I need the extraneous lashon of lo yabdil? So why did he write it? Lo yabdil lamaleish ramina ain't tzarich labdil. Lo yabdil doesn't mean don't sever it, but rather you don't have to sever it. So now once we reach Rabbi Yirmiyah, at least according to Tosafot, we reached the point here. Rashi all the way along, Rashi just says Rabbi Yirmiyah is an alternative explanation for the other three Amoraim versus the other three Amoraim versus Tosafot, who thinks that the whole Gemara changed its tune here. Until now, I was talking about only Havdalah severing the head after the Hazat Adam is done. Here, even Rabbi Yirmiyah's explanation is even before Hazat Adam. Even before I was at the dam, there is no restriction of lo yabdil, because it depends on how you read lo yabdil. Does lo yabdil mean do not sever the head? Or lo yabdil means you do not have to sever the head? And that might relate to the krivo, the tzivoy by the olah. If I already know by olah that I have to sever the head, and I lack that hikrivo by the chatat of, then I don't need you to tell me lo yabdil, because I don't have any instruction to be mabdil. So then what does lo yabdil come along to teach me? That you don't have to be havdalah by the chatat of. If you don't think that necessarily there's hikrivo as a positive commandment by the olah to do the full severing of the head, then the lo yabdil b'chatat teaches you all this information. It says b'chatat, do not sever the entire head, implying by the olah to of that you do sever the whole head. Right now we just finish up, which is the mitzvei hadam, because the requirement to squeeze the blood onto the mizbeach is done by guf. Tamarbana, ola afu pishi mitzad dam aguf v'lo mitzad dam arosh. That even though you squeeze out the blood of the guf and not of the head, that it's kasher. The other way around is not kasher. Yochol mitzad dam arosh v'lo mitzad dam aguf. I would think that the other way applies too. That maybe if you squeeze out the blood from the head and not from the guf, that would be fine as well. Tamalomar hu. The word who, it says in the puzzle, v'shisa oto b'chanafav lo yavdil v'yiktir oto akwein v'zbecha leitzim ashal eish ola hu. Yishay reyach neyoch olach l'ashem. That word who comes to teach you that it What's the who here? That's the goof. The who refers to the physical goof, it itself. My Talmudo, how do we learn that? Amar Ravina mistavra derog damim beguf shkvichei. Makes sense that when you're talking about the ovat ha'of, where is most of the blood found? Most of the blood is found in the body, not in the head. So it makes sense when we're talking about olahu, and that's ma'akev that the dam get on mizbeach. Which one's going to be ma'akev? Who? The body. The one that holds the majority of the blood is the one that's going to be, or the item that will be ma'akev, the kapara, or the machshir here. On the other hand, the rosh, you're supposed to put the blood on the mizbeach, or in the kir mizbeach, but if you don't, it will not be ma'akev in this instance. Okay, we'll stop over here.